The Science Of on The Money Show.
The Science Of, and tonight it's the Science of Sowetan Business, brought to you by Telkom Business. Convergence, one solution, one service provider. Tami Mazwai joins me this evening. Tami Mazwai, who was the day editor at the Sowetan, who started the Sowetan's business section. How long ago was that?
It was a year after I'd returned from Harvard. I think that it was 85 or
okay.
So, yeah.
So, in 1985, you start the Sowetan's business section.
Yes.
And then your career evolves. You now own Mafube Publishing.
Well, Mafube Publishing has gone south.
Oh, has it?
thanks to the economic downturn. No, and that
I was under the impression that Mafube still existed.
No,
the internet is not a terribly good resource. Let's close it down.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that. That must have been quite hard.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, I mean, that's the lot of business, you know. I mean, you've got to pay your fees, you know, and so on. And that, the lessons I learned there are very valuable for my new small business that I've just started. I mean, it's now a year that I've started since I retired from the university. So what I learned at Mafube is going to stand me in good stead.
There's nothing like having to close a business to learn the school of hard knocks and be able to advise others as well.
Was basically when I was running the Center for Small Business Development at the University of Johannesburg, at the Soweto campus. I mean, these are some of the issues that we use to address. What are the elements of a successful business? How do you see signs that your business is getting into trouble? And all those things, that was the training that we're giving to the small business people that came to our sessions. And we're doing the same thing now where I'm at the Center for Entrepreneurship at the Wits Business School.
But there's a desperate need for education. There's a desperate need for information because nobody has been teaching this stuff in South Africa for a long time. And there's, to my experience anyway, that there's a huge hunger for small business development, for small business education, for some of the basics and when people get started, because there aren't any textbooks that have been written on this, not any ones that we understand anyway.
Well, there are plenty of textbooks that have been written, and even by South Africans. I mean, there was a book released a few years ago by Professor Niven Hazen, and so on the whole issue of small business development from the South African perspective. And I'm mentioning those two because I'm quite close to them. I know them very well. But there are other authors, Boris Eben, who have written books on entrepreneurship and small business and so on. So the science, like in the rest of the world, the science of entrepreneurship is growing in South Africa. But what South Africa has to grapple with is a change in mindset, because the whole issue around small business has got something that I call, the context. If at all the nation does not see the importance of small business, then you'll find that whenever issues of small business come up, it is just, those informal people, you know, the language is very deprecating and so on. But if at all the nation is understands that actually the bedrock of the economy is small business, the small people who do this and who do this and that, trying to grow their companies, employing people, and doing quite a whole host of things, and that's how you grow economy. So there is a slow realization of the importance of business here in South Africa, but it's not fast enough, and we're not putting the appropriate systems in place to deal with the issue.
I mean, recently Rob Davies backed off from his business licensing bill, which was just threatening to add another layer of bureaucracy and another layer of potential ways for municipalities to extract money out of small businesses. He's backed away from it. He's promised to go off and redraft the business licensing bill. That's got to be positive that he's listening. But there is a lot of bureaucracy in the way of small business.
Let's rather look at the principle, you know, because I'm not in any way saying Rob Davies is wrong by re-looking at the bill. Obviously, there was something wrong. But the principle is something very important. Somebody somewhere has got to be a referee in the market.
Yes.
And that refereeing is in terms of the regulations that are there, because otherwise, if till you don't have those regulations, it's going to be a free-for-all, and that free-for-all is not going to be good for all of us.
When you go back to 1985 and you're the day editor at the Sowetan and you start the Sowetan's business section, how revolutionary was that, 1985? I mean, it seems like a million years ago.
Well, the opposition came from my colleagues in the newsroom, I mean, who basically said that the people are more interested in politics. What is this business about? And of course, it was during a time when people were talking socialism, and it was during it was in the heat of the liberation struggle.
Yeah.
So strange. I mean, the support I got, I mean, it was from a white man, Rory Wilson, who was the general manager of the MD, in today's language, of the Sowetan, who really saw the sense. In what I was saying. And then Agri Trust, of course, was also for the idea, because he was busy with this nation-building notion of his. And when I said, look, there's got to be an economic dimension to nation-building, so he took to the idea. But my other colleagues, well, they were vehemently against it.
And it's still there today, which suggests that it wasn't a bad idea to start out with. I mean, what were you hoping to achieve, though? Were you hoping to educate? Were you hoping to illuminate? Were you hoping to illustrate that there was really good business going on in Soweto at the time?
My argument, and still my argument, I've not moved away from that, is that Soweto's population is has got enough consumer power to be able to sustain development, socioeconomic development for a great amount of people. For instance, I must give you, I mean, these are 2007 numbers, or 2007 or 2008 numbers. You find that Soweto has got a spending power of 13 billion in any 1 year. And only 24% of that circulates in Soweto. So if you look at the leakage in economic terms, to use an economic term, of 76%, it means that Soweto's money is busy at developing Sandton, it's busy developing Randburg, it's busy developing other areas instead of Soweto itself. So that spending power has got to be redirected to benefit development in Soweto. That was my argument then. It's still my argument today.
Is that because what people want in Soweto simply hasn't been available until fairly recently in terms of say, the Jabulani and the Maponya malls? People have been encouraged to travel out, that there was maybe more of a status in buying whatever it was you wanted to buy in Sandton City or in Westgate or wherever it might be.
No, the main thing the main reason is that Soweto was built as a dormitory. You were to go to work in the white area, and you go to the black area to go and sleep.
Yeah.
And when you look at numerous pieces of township bylaws, you find that there was even a bylaw that said that one man, one door, which means that if at all you are a Soweto trader, you could only trade either in selling vegetables or having a fish and chips shop or having a dry cleaner, but you couldn't have two doors, and so on. And there were also, when trading started in Soweto, you find that people were only allowed to be in seven activities. That was to be a green grocer, to have a grocery shop, fish and chips, and those were basically the things that you could trade in. So the mindset was that if at all you black men, you want to start a business, the homelands are there. And the people of Soweto, if told they need furniture, they can always go to town to go and buy that furniture. So there were no furniture shops in Soweto until, I mean, and there are still no furniture shops in Soweto. So the mindset was that people must come here to come and sleep, wake up in the morning to go to the white man's area and work for the white man, and they can buy all they need there.
Well, the apartheid state wanted to be supported from the labor of the township, but there wasn't a quid pro quo. We live with that legacy today.
Well, it's
and the consequence of that legacy, what is that legacy?
You can't eradicate what has been ingrained in people over several decades, you know. Yeah. Since the Nets came to power in 1948, and even before then, the mindset was still that business is not for black people, it's not for townships. You are here to be labor. Mm. So to get out of that mindset is going to take some doing, but it is happening because, I mean, the people like Maponya were trailblazers in many respects.
Maponya is an extraordinary individual.
Yes, you know, and so on. And he's still, even up in his old age now, I mean, he's...
Over 90,
gone,
yeah.
Yes, he's gone on in years, but still he's that shining light that says that entrepreneurship is not a white thing. It's an everybody's thing.
And we're going to talk more about this with Tami Mazwai, who's my guest this evening here on The Money Show. Tami Mazwai nowadays, he's worn many hats in a long and illustrious career. He once had a proper job, and that's when he was a journalist, of course. But now he's in small business development, and he is at the Wits Business School, where he is helping young people, helping entrepreneurs develop businesses, develop their ideas to work also. I mean, there's some interesting stats here as well. These are Tami Mazwai's stats from when he was at the University of Johannesburg, where the vast majority of these small businesses are employing maybe 10 people. But boy, if we could have more small businesses employing more people, that would be a very positive thing. Turnovers of less than R1 million per annum. We need 1 million businesses doing R1 million per annum, employing 10 people, and South Africa looks like a very, very different place 10 years from now. If you log on to the internet and you look at virtually any website that talks about small business, it will tell you how it is the future of global wealth. It's the future of prosperity. Societies that get small business right are better societies in the long term. Small businesses can grow into big businesses and hire people over time. Barclays Wealth Insights came up with a report the other day saying amongst high net worth individuals, entrepreneurs and business owners, they accumulate their wealth over 16 years on average compared to 23 years for other high net worth individuals. But it's a lot of the South Africans, entrepreneurship is one of the main sources of wealth compared to inheritance. 68% of South Africa's high net worth individuals started their own businesses. And that's what we need to see happen in South Africa. Tami Mazwai spends his time, a lot of his time nowadays, at Wits Business School, trying to help young people and people of all ages, I suspect, develop their business ideas, develop their businesses, and grow their businesses. But we talk about the transformation specifically of Soweto as a place of business. And the stat you mentioned, 13 billion rands worth of consumer buying power, only a quarter of which is spent in Soweto. That's the legacy of the past. How is that changing? How is that evolving?
Well, I think that, I mean, obviously, I mean, quite a lot of people, I mean, are very entrepreneurial. Now, entrepreneurship will always express itself in terms of a necessity or opportunity. So whilst it's true that you've got a lot of necessity entrepreneurs in Soweto, people get into business because they've got to survive. But you also have a lot of opportunity entrepreneurs, and these are there are quite a lot of young people who really, I mean, are coming up with who are starting very novel businesses. You find that there was somebody who had came to us and he had started a website. He was constructing websites, trying to assist other entrepreneurs in Soweto to have their own websites. And this was even before Google had its promotion to
yes, for free website development.
Yeah, for free websites. But this young guy in Soweto was already doing it. And then there are your accountants. I mean, the services sector is bustling in Soweto. And then, of course, the one that is not doing that well, it's construction and so on. But there are constructors, there are brick-making firms and so on. So I don't believe that there would, I mean, be those type of activities that would never be found in Soweto because of the level of their sophistication. But when you talk of just ordinary products, you'll find that, I mean, that there is a lot of activity in Soweto. And also when you look at, I mean, Alexander Forbes, for instance, they had a project over the past few years to upgrade the panel beaters in Soweto, because you had a situation, the auto shops, mm-hmm. as they call them, where people would take their cars to Boysens or to Langlachte whilst there were panel beaters in Soweto. Right now, those panel beaters in Soweto are getting their fair share of this. And not only that, but they are being upgraded to even a deal to service the modern cars, because you've got to have an accreditation to perhaps repair, to do auto body shop, a Mercedes or a BMW, sure, and so on. So you find that there is that development. It's very exciting.
But is there much of that, that sort of Alexander Forbes type partnership, where Alexander Forbes says, look, here is a market we can help. Here's a market we can assist. It's in our own best interests. We can then get accredited panel beaters in places like Soweto. That's great. It's good for our business. It's good for their business. Everybody benefits. Is there much more of that sort of thing happening?
Well, a number of business houses are paying attention to it. There's Old Mutual, which has got a project going on involving women. And I'm just thinking about them. But what credit must also go to the city of Johannesburg. Obviously, they could have done more, but they have done quite a lot in terms, because they've got the empowerment zone.
Yep.
And they've got quite a lot of activity to develop a business in Soweto. So I think that the credit has also got to go to the city of Johannesburg. And then you've had the Gauteng Enterprise Propler, which has got an office, that is the Enterprise Development Agency, which has got an office right in Soweto at the Maponya Mall. So you find that that there is all this happening, but unfortunately it's not being captured.
Yeah,
on a regular basis.
There's that, and also, I mean, is there much capital available to entrepreneurs? Is there money available to people with bright ideas?
You know, some time ago, when I was at the University of Johannesburg, I was just talking to some guys, and they were talking about that they've got the stock fell, and in which the stock fell is they lend each other money, and the guys were lending each other 20,000 rand a week, and so on. It was circulating. 20,000 rand each. So you find that if there are six, it means that it's 120,000 rand that is circulating, that goes to this person and this person. Unfortunately, of course, it's money under the mattress and so on. So do not underestimate the amount of money that is in Soweto. And unfortunately, a lot of it is under the mattress. Because today it's very difficult to open a banking account than it was in the past. In the past, you could just go to a bank and open an account. Right now, they want XYZ from you. To an extent, you say, right, fine, I'll keep my money with me.
There's a vibrant informal economy that is flying.
Well, that informal economy in Soweto, it compares well with what you have in Kenya, with what you have in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe has a very bustling and dynamic informal economy. And in fact, Zimbabwe's economy is growing in leaps and bounds, has been growing in leaps and bounds and so on. And Kenya has had that type of economy for over the years because, the Kenyan government just made it quite clear to their people. They said, look, we have bought you democracy, but democracy does not mean that we should feed you. And every Kenyan knows that to have a food on the table, he's got to hustle. And that is the name of the game. So that is dawning in South Africa. The problem in South Africa is that our politicians keep on making promises. And I don't understand why they've got to make promises when in every part of the world, people know that they've got to work for an evening or they've got to create their own businesses. So this is what beats me with our politicians.
There we go. Tamu Mzwai, we must leave it there. From the Wits Business School, helping small business and beating that drum.